Yes, you're listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, and we're also here for the new Kia Niro electric SUV range, which has now landed. One of the difficult stories to digest has been the unfortunate finish to the year for Josh Bruce. We've spoken to him a bit, but it's even more disappointing and difficult when you're on the cusp of your team running out for a grand final. He's been good enough to man up and have a chat in many respects. There's not much more he can do. Josh Bruce, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on board. I wish we weren't talking in these situations. How are you actually dealing with it? An ACL rupture, you've been one of the great mainstays. You're having an All-Australian year up until the back end of the season, and then bang, you get you snap an ACL. How are you coping, and how are you processing?
It was bloody hard, and it still is bloody hard. Obviously, day to day, there's not a day that goes by where I don't think about, geez, I wish I was over in Perth, and geez, I wish I was preparing for a grand final. But at the same time, it's been 7 weeks now, so since my surgery, and I'm starting to get to the point where I'm more mobile, I can start doing more things, and I've kind of compartmentalized the sort of the grief and the pain, and kind of focusing on my rehab, which is sort of giving me a really good release, and just focusing on other parts of, other things that I can do, hanging out with my family and other things like that, which are a huge bonus. So.
Yes, it's a really difficult set of circumstances. I have a lot of empathy with you. I went through a similar scenario when I fractured my wrist, dislocated my wrist, and my career ended about 3 months later when a doctor said it's either physio or football. And at that stage, in a semi-professional era, it was a pretty difficult decision. But you can't live your life in a rear vision, looking into a rear vision mirror. You can only look through the front glass and try and drive the car in a positive direction.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I mean, obviously, the final series has been pretty challenging in its own right. Like, whilst I'm incredibly proud and happy for the club and for the boys, there's still that tinge of sadness, obviously, and pang of regret. But it's all systems go for Saturday for the boys. And and from a personal note, I think once the game's over on Saturday, I think just getting that closure from the season that was 2021 and being able to move forward will be good for everyone. So
it's been an extraordinary year. I mean, you're on top of the ladder for a long part of it. Melbourne stitched you up, gave you a nice old belting in round 11. Then you gave them a belting, and then you fell off the tram to a large degree through some injuries and through whatever other issues happened. But Bevo, as you did in 2016, has been able to lift the group, and you're now, as a club, obviously, playing in the grand final. Take us inside of the mind of Luke Beveridge and why he's able to do that, why he's able to get sides who have lost all semblance of confidence and get them up and believing in themselves again. How does he do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously a lot of the impact falls on Bevo's shoulders in terms of what he's done. But I think it's also driven by the group as well. I think, the guys like, the captain, Marcus Bontempelli, guys like Jack McRae, Tom Liberatore, guys that have been there before, guys that have done it before and know that, it's not all over. We've been probably in the top two teams all year. We can beat these guys, and we have beaten these teams before. We beat Brisbane early in the year. We beat Port at home early in the year, so it wasn't that big of an obstacle for us again. So I think, at the end of the day, it's probably the two best teams for the whole season in reality are playing each other in the grand final. So it's a little bit of, a little bit of poetry in that.
How do you see the matchup between the two teams? As I said, you played in both games. You won one, you lost one. You're actually smashed in the middle in the first one, and you smashed them in the middle in the second one.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it on the head, man. I think it's going to be won and lost, at particularly centre bounds, and then particularly through the midfield as a whole. So, I mean, if we can negate the impact that Max Gorn and Petrarca and Oliver have around the stoppages, then we'll go a long way to winning the game. And I think, even the last time that we played them, we didn't have Steph, we didn't have Adam Chalor, we didn't have Dunkley. Keith did his hammy in the first quarter. So, I mean, you know, we're definitely, you know, it's optimistic about our chances. And the guys are chock full of confidence with the 4 weeks they've had, and having the week off before the granny, I think it's been a good thing, letting a couple of guys recuperate and get themselves right to go.
So just running through that, because I don't think that's been broadcast widely enough. You didn't have Steph Martin. You didn't have
Treloar, Dunkley, or and Keith.
You didn't have, who was the third one?
Josh Dunkley.
You didn't have Dunkley, of course. And you, and Josh Keith, and sorry, Keith went down with an injury during the game. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's
four pretty handy players.
They are handy players, and it, you know, each game's different on its own merit, and obviously a grand final brings its own its own stratosphere, really. So, I don't know, it's going to be an even contest. You know, not discrediting Melbourne, they've been the number one team all year, so it's going to be a great game, and I'm looking forward to watching to see how it unfolds and to see who gets an advantage where.
Are you surprised that Jamara Ugle-Hagan hasn't sort of emerged through the finals?
I think, Jared, as you know, like, as a key position player in particular, it's so tough in those early years. Like, when your body is probably not developed at the level, you know, that where a big key defender like a Stephen May would just be able to bully you around in a certain degree. You know, he's 18, 19 years old. So I think that's just probably the biggest thing. And I think that he got a taste of it this year, which I think will make him hungrier for the preseason, which will in turn make him hungry for the beginning of next year. And then hopefully, you know, as his body develops and, you know, we can see he's got talent. You know, we know he can handle it at the level. So, you know, it would have been a pretty incredible feat for him to come into a top of the side team and have a really big impact as an 18-year-old key forward. I just haven't really ever seen that before, to be honest. So,
tell us about the club itself. I drove past the Witten Oval today on the way to going to see my old mate Jake Landsberger to get my second vaccination shot. And I was I was actually, you know, like, you go past and I played my last game on the Witten Oval. You have great memories of the Witten Oval, but I've never really sort of known the club. I know plenty of great guys from the club. Jono and Smithy are good mates of mine, but tell us about the club itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really interesting and beautiful club. I think, you know, when I initially was talking to the Bulldogs about coming across, and I'd been speaking to the CEO, Amit Baines, who obviously came from St Kilda as well, and he just spoke about the feeling and the community that he felt over in the Western Suburbs was just something really special. And particularly this year, it's just something that I've noticed, you know, the community and the fans, and being able to play some games in Melbourne in front of fans is just incredible. And there's sort of this, I don't know, there's this sort of really blue collar culture there that's kind of, you know, it's more about the team as a whole rather than the individuals. I mean, you can see that even from the top, from some of our best players are the most selfless players going around. So yeah, it's a great club to be involved with. We've got a terrific culture at the moment, which is obviously led, you know, by the skipper and by the guys at the top. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to finishing my career there.
And you've been at the club packing merchandise orders, keeping yourself busy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Baines, I have to admit, Baines, he put a little bit of mail on that.
Oh, yeah.
With his little Twitter spiel. But oh, I was there doing my rehab for the day.
Right.
And I'm coaching the AFLW from an evening on a Monday. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I had about an hour in between, so I popped in, and they were obviously inundated with orders, and popped in to see how they were going and helped out a little bit, but I certainly didn't do a 6 till 6 shift or anything in there, Jared. So.
Grand Final week is historically a great week for Mayo. I wouldn't clarify any of these stories as long as they're favourites, as long as they're positive towards you on the upside. It's going to be a tough game to watch, without question. It'll even probably be tougher if the Dogs prevail. But you've had an enormous contribution to the club so far, and I hope that you get through Saturday the best way you can, that you can celebrate with the boys the best way you can, given that you've got this unfortunate AFL or ACL injury, and you can get on with life and have a great finish to your career. Good luck, and Thanks for your time again, Josh.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate that, mate.
Josh Bruce. We all know his story. It's a tough one, but it'll be just that little bit better if the Dogs can get up and he can be part of a premiership team, albeit not playing on the day. Former Melbourne CEO Peter Jackson had a major part in building the Demons. They were in huge trouble when he turned up, and about 8 years later, they're playing off in their first flag since 1964. He's up next.